Yes, we're reading from Matthew chapter 6, the first 18 verses. As Richard says, it's on page 970. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Let's pray as we begin. Father, we pray this morning that you would be with us and speak to us. Thank you that we're not left to guess about what you're like. But as we've already heard, you're a Father who speaks to us. And we pray that you would help us to listen this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you love me? Do you love me? It's got to be one of the most penetrating questions that you could ever be asked, hasn't it? Do you love me? Don't know whether anyone's ever asked you that question. Do you love me? But that's the question that Jesus looks at us all this morning and asks us. His question to us isn't, have you kept the rules? It's not, have you been to church at least 90% of the Sundays in the last year? His question to each of us this morning is, do you love me? It's a penetrating question. It digs deep into our hearts. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tempted to think about my Christian life in terms of what I do. You know, things I do for Jesus. Serving, leading things, helping out. And Jesus says, no. The question I want to ask you is, do you love me? Do you love me? And in the passage we're looking at this morning, Jesus introduces us to a group of people who do lots of Christian things. You know, in the charts of, I don't think these things exist, I hope they don't, but in the charts of, you know, how much Christian service have you got, they're right up there. You know, they are fully involved in Christian activity. They have kept the rules. They are the people that are looked up to. But the shocking thing is, despite all their activity, they don't love Jesus. They don't love him. And rather than being motivated by a love for Jesus, their activity is actually motivated by a love for themselves and a desire for glory for themselves. And Jesus says, I hate that. I hate it. It gives him a horrible taste in the mouth. I don't know what you think Jesus might hate. You know, does he hate murder? Does he hate the Ten Commandments being disregarded? It's very interesting, as you read what Jesus actually says, the thing that comes up over and over again that he hates is hypocrisy. That's what he calls it. Jesus hates hypocrisy. That's the first point this morning, if I can find the clicker. Jesus hates hypocrisy. In other words, he hates it when people do Christian activity, but it's not motivated by love for him. It's motivated by love for themselves and a desire for glory for themselves. And he tells us about, you know, what that looks like in the passage. As I say, we meet this group of people that Jesus calls hypocrites. He uses that word a couple of times in the passage. And he says, whatever you do, don't be like these people. Don't be like these hypocrites. So verse 2. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. So, you know, this group of people, they've worked hard all week in Tesco. And comes to Sunday morning, I think, yeah, I'm going to go to church. Great, great thing to do. And to church, I'm going to take with me some money in an envelope. Go along to church. And afterwards, during the coffee time, they sort of sidle over to the offering box in the corner over there. And they get out their trumpet, and they go, and then they put it in. And you know, you kind of think Jesus would cut them a bit of slack there. You know, they've worked hard all week. It's their hard-earned cash that they're giving away. Surely Jesus is going to go, yeah, great, you know, really good you're giving. Just maybe don't need the trumpet next time. What is Jesus' verdict on that kind of obedience? Second half of verse 2. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. In other words, their act is not motivated by love for Jesus. And because of that, Jesus wants nothing to do with it. He doesn't care about the money in the envelope going in the box. In fact, he hates it. Jesus hates hypocrisy. Next example, verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. So, another group of people, similar. They've been working hard in Sainsbury's for a week. And it comes Sunday, you know, they get up ready for the 9:30 service, but they get there a bit early, and they go and stand on the roundabout just over there and to pray. And they think the roundabout is the perfect place to stand because everyone who's walking up from that direction is going to see me praying. And everyone who's walking up from that direction is going to see me praying. So loads of people, the maximum number of people, are going to see me praying. Brilliant. You know, I get to pray and I get to be seen to pray. Two birds with one stone. Awesome. Surely Jesus is going to cut them a bit of slack. Maybe he might say, you know, great on the praying, but, you know, you don't need to be so public about it. Is that what he says? What's his verdict? Second half of verse 5. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Jesus says, I don't care about your prayers. They are meaningless. They are worthless. Isn't that crazy? You think that Jesus would, you know, love praying, whatever sort. He says, prayer done in the sight of men, for the praise of men, is meaningless, worthless. Final example, verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. So this group of people, they work in Morrison's. And, you know, they've had a tough week. And they've been praying and they think, today I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast today. Normally have a big breakfast on Sunday morning. Today won't have the breakfast. And I'll come to church and I'll just look a bit down. I'll look a bit somber. And they're walking around at the back after church, you know, really, don't want a biscuit, thanks, don't want a biscuit. Really hoping someone's going to ask, you know, why am I a bit, I'm fasting. And, surely Jesus is going to cut them a bit of slack with that. You know, they're fasting. Not many people fast. That is pretty high level religious devotion. Surely he's going to go great on the fasting. Just, you know, don't need to be so kind of self-centered about it. Is that what he says? Second half of verse 16. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. In other words, Jesus doesn't care about their fasting. He doesn't care. In fact, he hates it. He hates it. He says it's meaningless. It's worthless because he hates hypocrisy. According to this passage, Jesus hates it when people do Christian activity, but it's not rooted in love for him, but in a desire for glory for themselves. Imagine a couple, John and Joe. And John, a married couple, you know, been married quite a few years now. One day, John decides to buy flowers for Joe. Buy some flowers. And Joe's really happy. And she takes the flowers and she puts them in a vase and she looks at them. Great. They make her really happy. And then a while later, it emerges that John hasn't bought the flowers out of genuine love for Joe, but out of a desire to be seen to be doing the right thing. He, you know, maybe she overhears a conversation where he says, I don't really love her. I just thought I should do it. I wanted to be seen to be loving her. Imagine she overheard that conversation. He's just bought the flowers to impress other people. How does Joe feel about the flowers? They're meaningless to her. And she takes the flowers in and she says, I don't want them. I don't want them. And he says, hang on, they're good flowers. You know, I spent money on these flowers. They're like real flowers. And she says, I don't care. I don't care about how real they are. I don't care about how expensive they are. Because your act was not rooted in love. It was actually a very selfish, self-glorifying act. Have them back. And the question Jesus has for us this morning is not, do you do stuff for me? It's, do you love me? Do you love me? Is your Christian life, your Christian walk, motivated by love for Jesus, or actually is it motivated by love and glory for yourself? And the thing I find unsettling about these people is they're, as I said before, they are involved in Christian activity. You know, sometimes we think these kind of people would be the sorts of people that walk around with a sign saying hypocrites, pointing right down to them. But actually, these people are not on the fringes of church life. If these people were around at Wood Green today, they wouldn't be the kind of people that are on the fringes of church life. These are people who are involved in Christian stuff. They're at growth group every time. They don't miss it. They even bring the biscuits more often than not. They help out at the family fun day from beginning to end. They're there. They come to church twice on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, pretty much every week. They even stay behind after the evening service to help out with after church. These people have had people over for Sunday lunch 3 weeks running. But when you dig deeper, you realize that they're just like John. They're doing Christian stuff, but it's not rooted in love for Jesus. It's rooted in love and glory for themselves. Jesus' verdict. Look down at the second half of verse 1. Actually, the whole of verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus doesn't care, ultimately, about our activity. He cares about our hearts. Jesus hates hypocrisy. He hates it when people act Christian on the outside, but what they do isn't motivated by love for Jesus. Secondly, Jesus loves authenticity. Jesus loves authenticity. I don't know if you're good at spotting the real thing. I guess that's what we're talking about this morning, isn't it? Spotting a fake, spotting a real thing. Are you good at spotting the real thing? One of the things that's really useful, I think, to be able to tell, in one situation where I think it's really useful to be able to tell the difference between a real and a fake is when you're buying football shirts. Really important because, you don't want a fake football shirt. Now, actually, I've got with me, would you believe, a couple of football shirts. From, what you might consider to be the best team in history. Okay, so here's one. Here's the other. Beautiful, beautiful. One of them's real, one of them's fake. Would anyone like to volunteer to come up here, have a look at them, and try and work out which is the real one, which is the fake one? Yeah? Oh, you're being volunteered. Do you want to do it, Josh? Right, here we go. Here we go. No pressure. No pressure. Good. He's right. Give him a round of applause. In fact, yeah, you're right. This one is... Does anyone know which season? 99, yeah. 99. Anyone know which season? Yeah, 2009, actually. So 10 years older, but still in better condition. You look at the badge. The key thing, I'll tell you a little secret. The key thing I've realized after I bought this one, I've been done, is it's a Champions League final shirt. And then you look at the sleeve, and it's got a Barclays Premier League badge. How obvious can you be? So, yeah, real, fake. And in this passage, Jesus isn't talking about football shirts. Jesus is talking about Christians, his disciples. And he's saying he looks at disciples and he says, I'm evaluating whether or not you're for real, whether or not you really love me. And Jesus says, to spot an authentic disciple, you don't look at the stitching around their neck. You look at what they do in secret. You look at what they do when no one is watching. Jesus, second point, loves authenticity. Jesus loves authenticity. Verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Verse 6, similarly, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Question is, why is Jesus so keen on his followers doing these things in secret? You know, wouldn't Jesus want people to be more public? You know, he said in the previous chapter, let your light shine before men. You know, public righteousness is a really good thing because it can point to God. Why is Jesus so keen for his followers to do these acts of righteousness when no one else is watching? It's because what we do in secret shows what is really in our hearts. It shows whether or not we're actually for real. It's proof of our love. I don't know whether you've ever fallen in love with someone. Don't worry, I won't get you to put your hand up and say. When I was living in Bristol, I had a housemate called Ollie, and he fell in love big time. This is head over heels stuff. For a girl called Kathy, they're now married, you know, live happily ever after, that kind of thing. But I knew that he was really in love with Kathy, and that his acts of love for her weren't just to impress me. You know, that a bit like John and Joe earlier. His acts of love were just to impress other people. I knew that wasn't the case with Ollie, mainly because he would get up at 6 a.m. when no one else was up and go and cook her porridge. You know, that wasn't to impress me. That was because he loved her. And I'd come home, and he would be in his room with the door closed, talking to her till the small hours of the morning. It definitely wasn't to impress me. It was actually really annoying. But he loved her. He loved her. He wasn't acting out of a compulsion or to impress other people. His porridge making, the phone calls, were out of love. What we do when no one else is watching is proof of what we love, proof of what is really in our hearts. And Jesus asks, do you love me? Do you love me? If you love me, then prove it. Show me that you love me. And he highlights these three areas of life where we can show authentic love for Jesus. Authentic giving, first of all. We're at the stage in our church life where we need some money. One thing we could do is publish the top 10 givers to Wood Green. And we could have it on the screen during Church Matters, and we could put it on social media, and surely that is a good way to boost our income as a church. Now, obviously, we don't do that, and you know, it'd be wrong for all sorts of reasons. The reason we don't do that is because it's not very British and we don't like talking about money, but maybe in other cultures they would do it. That's not why. If we did that, giving our money would become a means of loving ourselves. And however much money we gave in that situation, Jesus would say, I don't care about a single penny of it. I don't think Jesus is saying you always have to give anonymously, but I think he would encourage us to give completely anonymously from time to time as a way of avoiding hypocrisy. I had an email a few years ago from a guy who's doing ministry in Belgium, and he was running an event, didn't have enough money for it. And he sent out an email saying, I need money, can you help? It's like a group email thing. And I thought, yeah, okay, I'll give some money. I did the whole bank transfer thing. And after I transferred the money, I felt really good about myself. And if I'm honest, I thought, I want people to know about this. And I was so tempted to just sort of drop it into conversation. Oh, yeah. How did the conference go? You know, did my gift sort of help? I wanted credit. And when I feel those thoughts rising in my head, I'm drawn back to chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus says, give, but do it when no one else is watching. Secondly, authentic praying. Look down with me at verse 6. Now, verse 6, I have read the commentaries on verse 6. And here's what I think it means. You know, debated verse, here's what I think it means. I think it means this. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So simple, isn't it? When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. When no one else is watching, when no one else could possibly even know that you're praying, that's when Jesus wants us to pray. It's so easy to think that you want to kill two birds with one stone. You want to be praying, also seen to be praying. Jesus says, the heart of Christian prayer is when no one else is watching. Now, I don't think this means we can never pray in public. I don't think this means that Richard is a hypocrite for praying in front of everyone. But I do think it means that if public prayer, you know, if Prayer Central and praying at Growth Group, if that is the bulk of your prayer life, then Jesus says you're on dodgy ground. Jesus says, be very, very careful. I heard a helpful illustration of this recently, which said that our public praying should be like the tip of the iceberg. So the point's kind of obvious. Most of the iceberg is completely unseen. But there's a bit poking out the top. That's what our public praying should be like, according to Jesus. If it's the other way around, I think Jesus would say, be very careful not to practice your acts of righteousness before men. Listen to what J.C. Ryle says about this. Oh, it's very small. I'll read it out. He's talking about, how do you know if someone's real? How do you know if someone actually loves Jesus? And he says, furthermore, I say that of all the evidences of the real work of the Spirit, a habit of hearty private prayer is one of the most satisfactory that can be named. A man may preach from false motives. A man may write books and make fine speeches and seem diligent in good works and yet be a Judas Iscariot. But a man or woman or child, seldom goes into his closet and pours out his soul before God in secret unless he is serious. The Lord himself has set his stamp on prayer as the best proof of true conversion. When he sent Ananias to Saul in Damascus, he gave him no other evidence of his change of heart than this: he is praying. Thirdly, authentic fasting. Now, this is a debated topic. Sometimes people say that because Jesus says when you fast, verse 16, if you look at it, when you fast, that means that Christians should fast. And I'm sure there'll be differences of opinion in the room. But the point Jesus is making here is not really about fasting, is it? It's about how you practice your acts of righteousness. And my personal view would be that there's no biblical command to fast, but that you might want to fast if you find it helpful. And I've got to say that because I love eating food, maybe I'm not completely neutral when it comes to fasting. But Jesus is saying, whatever you do, if you fast, if you don't fast, whatever your acts of righteousness are, do them in secret, because that is proof that you love me. Do you love me? Do you love me? That's the question that Jesus asks each of us this morning. Not, are you perfect? Not, have you kept all the rules? His question for us is, do you love me? Is your Christian life motivated by love?